after that little. Okay, so today we begin part two of the mitzvah of separating challah. I believe we're on section six, correct?
Yes.
Who separates challah? Okay. It's not up. Let's try it one more time. Okay, there's so much technology that you have to deal with. Everything's a little slow. Okay. Section six. Who separates challah? So, although the main obligation on separating challah is on the owner of the dough, which often in a traditional family would be the husband, still the rabbis gave the woman the privilege of performing the mitzvah. So she has the inside track to the mitzvah. A husband, I don't know how many husbands would want to separate challah, but if in case the husband would want to, he can only do it if he gets permission from his wife. If the wife doesn't let him, he doesn't get to do it. Now, the wife, if she wants, she can honor another woman to do this mitzvah and does not need to ask permission from her husband. As we'll see in a minute, although the people you want to honor should be over bar or bat mitzvah. Now, the husband cannot give another person the honor to the mitzvah unless he gets permission from his wife. So basically, this is, wife has the ownership of the mitzvah, and the decision to separate challah is totally based on who the wife wants to do this. As we said in number five, a child who's under bar mitzvah does not separate challah because they're underage to be obliged in mitzvahs. However, if after the fact, a boy who is 12 or a girl who is 11 does separate the challah and understand what they're doing, after the fact, the separation is valid. If a child underage did separate the challah under that age, it's not valid. It has to be done totally again. So as much as you may want to train your, if you have a little girl or granddaughter to do challah, you do not have them separate the challah to perform the mitzvah. Okay, now, even though a woman is in her nida state, she can separate challah. This was only an issue in the days of the temple where we ate foods in a total state of purity, but that's not an issue. Now, here's an interesting scenario. What if you're a guest in someone's house and you're concerned that the challah they made, they did not separate challah? They're serving you bread and they did not separate challah. What?
I never even thought of that.
Well, you know, again, I imagine even secular people, some of them like to make bread. I mean, it's not just an exclusive Jewish thing. There's millions of non-Jews who like to make bread. So why wouldn't a secular Jew not want to make bread? So let's say you're invited to their house, and now you're concerned that they may not have separated challah. So obviously the easy solution is not to eat it, but sometimes you can't get away from it. So we will see that once they put the food on your plate, so to speak, you become the owner of that piece of bread, so to speak, and you could separate challah from the piece that you have. Now, of course, it's not so simple how to do this, because first of all, you'd have to know the person making the challah had enough dough that they're even obliged in challah, right? But let's assume they were, or maybe you don't know. So let's say someone put a bagel. I made fresh bagels since you're coming. Wow, it's so nice. You know. Let's say, you know, sometimes you have family who, let's say, you know, for the sake of their children, the parents going to kosher their home. Okay, they're going to kosher their home. So they're going to, you know, only buy good stuff, and they're going to, and you could eat in their house, but they may not know all the intricacies of halacha. So yeah, you kosher their home, they only bring in kosher food, and then you get a surprise. Your secular mother, who's now keeping kosher for you, has decided, oh, I made some fresh challah for you. Oh, I never taught her, I never thought she'd ever make challah on her own. She doesn't know anything about separating challah. So it might not be comfortable to tell them, oh, do you know there's a whole mitzvah of challah? Well, yeah, if they're friendly enough, you can explain it to them, and then you could separate it, but it doesn't always work out that way. So, but what if you're in a situation where, and, you know, the bread's there, and they tell the taste and tell me how good it is? So in that case, what you could do is to separate challah yourself. Okay, so let's say you got that bagel over there. So just take a little bit of the bagel, take a piece off, and separate it. And somehow, when no one's watching, like put that little piece in your pocket because you're going to have to throw it out afterwards or whatever. And obviously, you would not make a bracha because you don't know if they were really obliged in challah, but it could be it was obliged in challah. Therefore, you can that ensures that you're not eating bread that challah was not taken off of. You follow? Now, that only helps for your piece of bread. What about all the other bread that's being eaten? And you want to be a big mitzvah girl, right? So look at point number 10. Usually, you can't separate challah from another person's food without their permission. However, in order to save the host from sin, a guest may do so without the knowledge of the host. Again, he should take only the tiniest amount of food and have the intention to acquire it before declaring it as challah. Alternatively, he has already received a portion from his host. He can separate challah from his portion and have in mind that he's exempting the host's food. And no bracha need not be recited. So therefore, if you want to even go further, you could say, you know, I'm separating challah for every bit of challah the host has. Now, I know it's lacking certain detail. As we said, the challah should be together and all these things. But under this circumstance, it's better than nothing. So again, if you're in that situation, you could technically separate challah that doesn't initially belong to you. Okay, good. Next, when to separate challah. Now, I wrote a caveat over here. I don't want to make things confusing. I'm trying to make it simple. And there, as we said last week, there are certain laws that apply in Eretz Yisrael that are stricter. So I'm not going to talk about that. I'm only talking about laws in Chutz La'aretz. So if you're making challah in Israel, not everything that I'm going to say now applies. It's a lot stricter. But since most of our challah making is done inside Eretz Yisrael, outside, so therefore I'm prefacing that. Preface it here and somewhere else as well. So again, as we mentioned last week, challah should be separated as soon as you've completed the dough and the batter. As soon as made, don't wait for the dough to rise. We mentioned that last week. You don't want to, there could be all kinds of problems. If you delay, you might forget, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, you are permitted to taste the dough before separating the challah to see if it needs more flavorings. So you want to taste the batter or whatever. A little taste is fine. Okay? Now, if one baked the dough before separating challah, okay, in other words, you forgot, and you baked the dough. So what are you supposed to do then? It's preferable, obviously, I wrote the word two times, which should not have been. It's preferable to separate challah before eating the food. Okay, so let's say you forgot. You totally forgot to separate. So you do it as soon as you remember. And then separate some of the challah, the baked food as well. Even if you started eating the baked food and then you remember that you forgot. You still have to separate challah from the fake baked food as soon as you remember. Now, what if you can't remember whether you separate the challah? You know why? Because you didn't listen to me, and you didn't separate it as soon as it was a dough, and then you waited, I'll do it for later, and then you don't remember if you did it, right? So, therefore, we say like this. If you generally perform the mitzvah on a regular basis, we can assume you separated challah and you're okay. But, nevertheless, you should separate a tiny piece without reciting a bracha, just in case you did not. All right. Next, how to separate challah. Now we get to the actual mitzvah. Okay. That's clear enough. Okay. Some have a custom to give tzedakah before separating challah. Some have the custom also, since you're doing a mitzvah, is to wash your hands without making a bracha, as you're preparing to do a mitzvah, just like you wash your hands before you daven, wash your hands before. You should stand when performing this mitzvah, especially when you're going to make a bracha on that. Now, there's two different ways of doing it. There's what we'll call the preferred method, and then there's the method that you see what everybody just does anyway. So either one is okay, but I'm writing them out separately. Okay, so the proper way of separating challah, four steps. Number one, now you got the dough. Number one, separate a small piece of the dough, or if it's food, if you've baked cakes, whatever, so it's coming afterwards, or some food. That's what I mean, food. And when I say food, I mean, well, if it's batters, you can't separate. When it's a batter, you have to wait to bake it all up, and then you separate it. Okay, so you separate a piece with your right hand and put it next to the dough or the food on the table. Just put it down there. Now, you recite the bracha, if it's large enough amount, if it's required. Then, step three, after bracha, declare the separated piece to be challah, as we'll explain all these steps after. I'm just giving you the basic steps. And then you dispose of the challah. Those are the four steps. Separate, one, say the bracha, two, declare that piece of challah as challah, and four, dispose of the challah.
What do you mean by dispose?
Get rid of it.
In the garbage?
We're going to talk about... I said, we'll discuss it. I said, this is just the main point.
Sorry.
This is all four points have to be explained. I'm just saying, these are the four steps.
Sorry.
Separate, bracha, declare, dispose. Okay, now, you can, if you want, hold a separated piece in your hand, and you don't have to place it down, as long as it's near the door of the food. So you can just take it and hold it right next to the plate, the bowl of dough. You don't have to necessarily put it down on the table.
Now, sorry,
we're gonna. I think I wrote something here. I looked it up. I always have trouble with the left-handed one, but I think I wrote it. Just give me.
Okay.
Let's see. If not, I'll have to look. I remember it crossed my hand. I looked it up. I'm not sure if I wrote it down. Okay, we'll get back to that. Now, how much do you have to separate? So technically, even the smallest amount, even a drop, but the custom is to separate a kezias, which is 1.33 fluid ounces or 40 milliliters. So that doesn't really help because nobody can figure any of that out. So what most rabbis say, a piece of dough about the size of a golf ball. Okay, you know the golf ball size, right? About that size, a golf ball. And the point is, okay, you might want to go a little bigger because you're not sure if you have enough, but we don't really want to separate too much of a piece because we're going to end up destroying it anyway. So why do you want to destroy more than you need to? Okay, remember, when we had a temple and we had a Kohen, then you gave it to the Kohen. So of course, we love Kohanim and we give them a really big piece. But now that we're ending up destroying it, so why do we have to take off more than is necessary? So usually about the size of a golf ball does the trick, and you shouldn't do more than that. All right, so that's how much you separate. Now, the correct text of the bracha, like all brachas begin, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kidshanu Mitzvah V'tzivanu, and the last words are, Lahafrish Challah, which means you command us to separate challah. Some have the custom to add two more words after that. The words are min ha'isa, from the dough. So either yes or no doesn't matter. The main thing is the words lahafrish challah. So that is the declaration. That is the bracha. Okay? So there's the separation and the bracha. Okay? You also make that same bracha when separating from baked goods. In other words, if you made a batter, which you can't separate from a batter, then you bake them afterwards. Same bracha, but we obviously would not add the words min ha'isa because it's not dough anymore. Now, that is the one way to do it. The other way, just a little variant, is some have accustomed to recite the bracha before separating a piece. Okay, and how are they going to do that? In other words, what you do is you hold with your right hand a kezias of dough. Okay, in other words, put your hand in the dough, and you grab yourself a kezias, okay, and not to pull it out yet, and then you say the bracha, and then you pull off the dough. Okay, so that's another way to do it. So either you've already separated and it's in your hand and you put it down, and then you make the bracha. Others want to make the bracha before they actually separate it. The debate is, should you say the bracha, is it good enough to say the bracha before the declaration of the challah, or you want to do it before you even separate it? So according to this way, you got your hand in the dough, and you're grabbing onto a golf ball piece, you make the bracha, pull it out, And at that point, you would then make the declaration, okay, which we'll see of what that declaration is. We're going to say it again, but we'll get to that. Now, it's also, if it's the first time you've ever done the mitzvah, there's some opinions that say make the Shekhinah, but we don't. We do not make the Shekhinah. Now, what is the declaration? The declaration is, you say the three words, Hare Zu Chala. That is declaring that this piece is now the Chala. If you don't know how to, you should learn those three words in Hebrew. You should learn them. What the Hare means, but behold this. Behold, as it were, Zu, this piece, Chala, is the Chala that I'm declaring it to be. Now, what about the forgetting situations? If you forgot to make the bracha after separating the dough and after declaring the dough as challah, once you've separated and declared it, it's too late to say the bracha because you've finished doing the mitzvah. As we say, you don't make a bracha on something after you've done the mitzvah. So you separated and you declared it, well, then it's too late to make the bracha. If you made the bracha on the separation, let's say you made the bracha but forgot to say the declaration, the mitzvah's still been fulfilled. If you forget to make the, obviously, if it's still around, you should declare it if it's still available. If you forgot to say the bracha and the declaration, and even though you separated the dough, right, the mitzvah's not been fulfilled, and you've got to make a declaration, but it's too late to make a bracha. Okay, so those are the forgetting things. Next, it's forbidden to speak after making the bracha until after the declaration, just like in any mitzvah, when you speak, you should not make a separation after that, interruption. If you did speak before the declaration, then you must repeat the bracha followed by the declaration. So you separate the challah, you know, you're making the bracha, but you haven't made the declaration, don't start talking about other things till you say, Hare Zu Challah. And if you do that, if you don't, then it could be an interruption. You'd have to make the bracha again. And there's also a lengthy Yehi Ratzon prayer that's found in a lot of the Siddurim. It's also at the end of your Amida. It should be Hashem's will to reinstitute the Beis Hamikdash, like in the olden days. That little last paragraph, when you finish the Amida, after you take your three steps back, there's a Yehi Ratzon, it should be your will that we should have the Beis Hamikdash again and do things, etc. So it's customary to say that. I guess in any little challah thing with the Rebbetzin gives you these things, I'm sure you have them. And it's also appropriate to pray for righteous and God-fearing children after you perform this mitzvah. Okay, next, disposing of challah. This is very interesting. So the way it was supposed to be done is you give it to the Kohen, and that's it. And that was the end of the story. But nowadays, we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, and we don't give things to the Kohanim. So what do? So the preferred method is to burn the separated piece of challah until it turns into ashes. That's the way to do it in a perfect world. Okay, but I always say Jews and fire don't get along very well. We don't have a good history with fires. So there's a lot of halachic concerns that I don't want to get into over detail over here that makes this very difficult and impractical. Okay, because you've got to burn it in a way it turns to ashes. And the question is, where are you going to do it? And to do it just in the regular stove, it's not so simple because it has a certain... because it's holy, it has a certain kedusha, and we're forbidden to eat the challah. So I wouldn't say it's treif, but it's for us as non-Kohanim, it's like treif. So it's almost like cooking treif in your oven. In other words, although it's not treif, a Kohen could eat it, but a non-Kohen is forbidden to eat the challah. So from our perspective, it's like treif. So it creates all kinds of problems burning that piece of challah because you really got to burn it. I mean, the real way to do it is you have a fire and you throw it in the fire and it burns and it turns into ashes. You know, when you're going to wrap it up in tinfoil, it doesn't really turn into ashes. So you haven't really accomplished it as well. And, you know, I don't see you making, you know, and let's say, well, I'm going to put it in the barbecue. Well, then the barbecue now has all this challah residue, which you're not allowed to benefit from, so it's almost like putting treif into your barbecue. So therefore, it creates all kinds of problems. Therefore, although we're not optimal, the simple thing is put it in a plastic bag and throw it in the garbage. Finished. That is the easiest, safest, we'll say it, foolproof way of doing it. Once you start doing things in the oven, you can make all kinds of problems, as we'll see. And especially some people think, oh, I'm baking the challah, I'm baking my challos, right, my bread, and while the oven's on, I'll burn the challah as well. That is really not good, because that's almost like cooking treif and kosher in the same oven. So it's very technical how to do it. So therefore, the easiest way, wrap it up in a plastic bag and throw it in the garbage, is the simplest way you avoid all shilas and shalom al Yisrael.
Can you save it, Rabbi, for the year?
Don't. I know, but that's also not a good idea, because it's like leaving explosives around in the house. Like, you know, what if you forget, and what if you... somebody comes into the freezer and doesn't know, oh, I saw this nice dough, I baked you up a challah. Just get rid of it. Just like we say, you should separate it as soon as there's a dough. Get rid of the challah. So I know there is such a custom. You know, in a simpler world, yeah, everybody remembers and this and that, but you forget. You might forget about it, and it just hangs around, and then somebody just pulls it out and bakes it up. And it's like you have, like, leaving... Lahava, like leaving poison around in your freezer, spiritual poison. So, like, why leave it around? Just get rid of it. It's the easiest thing. And you're gonna wait till Pesach to do it. You know what's gonna happen? You're gonna forget, and then you're gonna transgress having chametz in your house on Pesach. That's what you'll get out of it. You're not gonna remember. So that's I understand the custom, but you gotta really be a person who really remembers everything. And in this kind of world we live in, there's so many details, you forget everything half the time. You go from your room to get something, and then you remember something else, and then you get the other thing, you forget, and you go back, I didn't even get the thing I wanted. Right? People save their lulavs and esrogs to burn the lulav, to burn with the chametz. You know how many people have like 10 lulavim in their garage? Because every Pesach they forget to burn it. So it's the same thing. You got that chametz. That's a lulcha. It's a little piece. You're putting it somewhere in the stove, in the fridge, wherever. And then comes Pesach. You say, oh, you know, I don't remember any chametz, because the last time you baked the chametz was 7 months ago. And you leave it in the fridge. It causes too many problems. So let's make it easy. Separate it, put it in a plastic bag, throw it in the garbage, done. And now we don't have to worry about anything else. Now here's an interesting halacha though. We have to know that although it is very forbidden to eat that little piece of challah, we mamish are not allowed to eat it. But you got to remember, once you separated that piece from the dough is now, as we would say, kosher. In other words, as long as you haven't separated, all that dough is forbidden for you to eat. You cannot eat the dough if you have not yet separated. Now, once you've separated, you put it over here, and you've declared it as challah, this dough is now 100% kosher, regardless of what may happen to that little piece of dough. Even if you mess up with that piece of dough after it's been separated, and after it's been declared, even if by mistake you even baked it and ate it, which would really be bad. But notwithstanding that, this dough is still 100% kosher. It has nothing to do with what happens to the separated piece afterwards. Of course, you want to deal with it properly and dispose of it properly. But if you haven't, for whatever reason, it does not affect the remaining dough that's there. And that's what I said in point number 3. Okay, now, what happens if you didn't listen and you didn't throw in the garbage right away? Here's another problem that can happen. What happens to that piece of dough somehow? Again, especially if you have like a lot of ladies around the table and everyone's making challah and this and that, and you just put your thing to the side. I separated it. It's right over here. And we will get rid of it soon. And then as everyone's going and this and that, and you're separating the dough, and then by mistake you just take that little piece of dough and you just put it back with the rest of your dough. Right? That's like putting treif into your dough. So again, another good reason, as soon as you separate it, immediately throw it and declare it. Throw it in the garbage. You just don't know how good idea that is. I know you said, I'm in the middle of making, I'm being so creative, it's not cleanup time yet. Don't worry about it, just get rid of that, because now when you put it back in, you got some amazing shilas. So, if the separated challah got accidentally mixed in the remaining dough, so if it's like this, if you like just put it on and you didn't really mix it all up and you could see the piece that was there, so then just pull it out and with a little extra from what it touched, like you take out the golf ball and a little bit more from whatever it touched in case a little bit of it got there and throw it out. Okay, so you're okay, you saved it. But what if it's thoroughly mixed? You just put it in there and then, and you say, oh, where's that piece of challah? Oh, no, I put it in and it's mixed up with that. Then we come up with a different mathematical equation, and this is going to not be easy. You have to have 100 times the remaining dough to be greater than the little golf ball you put in, and then it would nullify it. Okay, you'd have to have 100 times that. So now go start figuring out. You got one golf ball, and this, you have 100 times that. Good luck figuring it out. Okay, I don't know how much, but let's go further now. Okay, has it ever happened to anybody? No. Okay, you're lucky. But if the remaining food is less than 100 times, now you can't eat, the whole thing can't be eaten. However, there's a way out of that. So just remember, if you're in that situation, call the rabbi. Because there's a way, it's too complicated, but you can get the rabbi, can get you to annul your vow and undo the mitzvah that you did. Could sort of undo it, because really when you say this should be challah, it's like sort of like a mitzvah, it's also a vow. So we can annul the vow and undo and say, you know what, I regret ever making it challah to begin with. And therefore it loses its sanctity, and then you can do it. But it's not so simple, so you'd have to call a rabbi to make sure it's done properly. So there is a way out in case that happens. Okay, next. Again, yeah. Same procedure. Just correct. If it's procedure's the same without the bracha, and then you don't have to worry.
Yeah, but can I ask you?
Sure. Go ahead.
I did miss.
Go ahead.
So I love making it with my bread machine, but it's only 4.5 cups, right?
So that's not enough.
I know that. But I want to. If I had to make 4.5 cups and keep the dough when it's finished, and then go make it again. Can I take
yes.
two 4.5 yeah. cups and put them together?
Yes. For sure.
It's still not enough, so it's
well, you could do it without a bracha. 9 cups. You could do it without a bracha.
Without, yeah.
You could sever chal out. You'd have to do a third time, and then you're getting close.
Yeah.
Then you're getting...
You have to mix them all together. Right?
You don't have to. We said you could put the... You should review how we discussed how you could take 3 different doughs and still separate them by putting them halachically together. They don't have to be mixed. You could take the 3 doughs, put them in a bowl, and separate from that. So we discussed that last week.
And I know.
Yeah, it's okay, but there is a way to do it. Okay, finally, what about separating challah on Shabbos and Yontif? Again, these laws apply only chutz la'aretz. Generally speaking, it's forbidden to separate challah on Shabbos. For many reasons, but the primary reason is it's like you're repairing the challah. And you're not allowed to repair things on Shabbos. So, and you're going to wonder, well, I don't understand. I'm going to make the challah before Shabbos. How could this ever be relevant? You'll see in a minute. Very simple. What if this comes Friday night? Your husband's ready to cut the challah. You're so proud of yourself. You made the challah. You did all that. And then it dawns on you that for whatever reason, just as you finished making the dough, your best friend from Eretz Yisrael called, and before you had a chance to do the mitzvah, you spoke for an hour and a half, and you forgot that you didn't make the bracha, and as you're talking and this and that, you started making the challah and all that, and you ended up never separating challah. Now, when do you remember? Of course, when you remember, as soon as the challah is on the table and your husband's making a motzi on the challah, wait! Wait, poison! I forgot to separate it! What do you do there? And of course, you can't call the rabbi then. It's Friday night. And if you do, and he picks up the phone, you don't want to hear the answer. All right? So there is a way out if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And that's what point three discusses. This is, as we say, leave it for later. It's possible. This is definitely not an optimal situation, but it saves you from the problems here. If you forgot, or let's say you don't remember whether you separated challah, so what you do is you may continue to eat the food. But what you have to do is separate a substantial portion from the challah, what you made, to separate from it after Shabbos. So let's say, for example, you made chves, two big challahs and six little bilkas, whatever, and you just at Shabbos on. I didn't do it. So what you do is take, let's say, one bilka, put it on the side, put it in a bag, and you're going to deal with it after Shabbos. Now everything else you could eat now, not a problem. Then after Shabbos, you will then perform the mitzvah of separating challah. Because remember, you can still separate challah even after you baked, right? What happened if you forgot to make to separate? You bake the challahs, and it's out of the oven. Oh, yeah, I forgot to bake it. So what do you do then? You take challah off of one, and it takes care of the rest. So just like you could do it then before you eat it, it's possible to do it after you eat it. Because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to separate. I don't have a choice, so what am I going to do? I need a challah for Shabbos. So therefore, it's not a problem. Just take off. It's got to be more than a golf ball, because you got to separate a golf ball from what's left over. So let's say you separate two golf balls of challah. You just put it to the side on Shabbos. Just put. Don't make any declarations, nothing. Just put it to the side, put it in a bag, put a little reminder after Shabbos, I have to deal with it. Then after Shabbos, just take this bilka, remove a kezias, a golf ball from that, say hare zu challah, throw it out, and then everything retroactively is fine. Okay, so that's a handy thing to know. That was four, that was five. You obviously do not make a bracha, because it's all... Alright. Now, obviously, if you ate all the food on Shabbos, you didn't leave anything, you've lost the mitzvah of challah. Now, what if you made challahs before Yontif and you forgot to do that? Same laws as for Shabbos. Now, there's a law that many people aren't aware of. You know, you are allowed to make challah on Yom Tov. You may make from scratch. You may make challah on Yom Tov. And you wonder, why would anyone want to do that? I'll tell you why. It's fresh. Isn't that a good answer? Right? So certainly you can. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not showing any disgrace to the Yontif or whatever. You certainly can. You just have to make sure you know all your halachas properly, how to make the challah and all that. But clearly in the olden days, they didn't have freezers and refrigerators, unless you had a 3-day Yontif, whatever situation you have. You know, challah, and they didn't have, what do you call it, those ingredients to, what's the word, to keep it longer? Preservatives. So, you know what? By the second day, right, it's not so great. You know, second day Yontif, it doesn't taste so good. Donuts especially don't taste good second day. There is a concept, right? It's called day old, right? Do they still do this in bakeries here? When I was a kid, we always went and bought the day old. It was half price or less. So there's a reason why it's half price. It doesn't taste as good. And Yontif, you want the food to taste good. So there's no reason why. Now, of course, it's a busy world. If you're like, I'm making challah, I might as well make enough challah for both as a Yontif and just take care of it, this and that. I understand that, and that's fine. But you should know. So I always tell ladies, you know, ladies feel they have to have the whole Yontif cooked. It's like cooking eight meals before Yontif. So by Yontif, you're exhausted. I would say, why do you have to cook everything? You can always leave something for the second day. Your husband goes to shul. You can make some fresh chicken. You don't want to do all this stuff. You have a real fresh meal. But for whatever reason, women know better, and they just want to have it all done before Yom Tov, put it in the freezer, this and that. Okay, all I'm saying is, you know, we don't want to get to the point where we forget what the halacha is, though. Because if this happens, we're going to say, what do you mean? You can't make challahs on Yom Tov. You can't cook chicken on Yom Tov. People are going to think that you're not even allowed to do it. It's like a prohibition. So I'm just saying, no, you really are allowed to cook on Yom Tov. I mean, from scratch, and bake challahs from scratch. And obviously, if you're going to bake a challah on Yom Tov, then you obviously have the mitzvah of separating the challah on Yom Tov, because that's the only way I could eat it. See, if you bake the challahs before Yom Tov, then we can't separate it on Yom Tov, because you should have made the brachon separated before Yom Tov. So therefore, we delay it till after Shabbos, till after Yom Tov. But if I'm making the challah on Yom Tov, and on Yom Tov it's a mitzvah to have fresh challah, then I'm allowed to make the separation and the declaration on Yom Tov, because that's part and parcel of cooking and baking food for Yom Tov. So therefore, if the occasion ever happens, you know, what happens? What are you going to do if, let's say, you make a bunch of challahs and you miscalculate and got all eaten up? You know, sometimes you could have a Shabbos before 2 days of Yom Tov, let's say. So you baked everything before Shabbos, and now you're coming, it's the night before the last day of Yom Tov, and you're out of challah. So you should know you got the option. Make yourself fresh challahs. And when you make fresh challahs, and you made enough, so you separate and do the mitzvah as required. Finally, it's a mitzvah for a husband to gently ask his wife on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, close to the time of candlelighting, whether she remembered to separate challah. Okay, so ends the challah. So just remind me about the lefties. I see I didn't put it down. I always forget the laws of lefties, because for one it is, for one it isn't. So just remind me and I will put it in, and I'll give you the answer for that. Okay, with this we've ended the laws of separating challah.